Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Well, it happened again. The Bills fall to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC title game. As I mentioned earlier, Josh Allen is now the losingest quarterback in NFL playoff history without a Super Bowl appearance.
Yeah, or winning it. He's got seven without without one.
Without one, yes.
And I think basically every single year it's been a loss to Kansas City.
In some form or fashion.
That's brutal, man. I just feel bad for those Buffalo fans. But you would think eventually...
Well, this is the fourth straight year he got eliminated by them, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And you would, but you would think at some point, like, they would make a change in some way, right? Like, it just seems like every year they find a way to get right there. And then they just fall apart.
It's very, this will hurt. It's very Blazers-esque when they were in the early late 80s, early 90s, and then 2000s.
Hmm.
I'd argue the Bills are the second best team in football.
Over the last 5 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
Them or Philly. I mean, if Philly wins a title, I might give it to Philly. Yep.
Sure.
But yeah, if you're talking top three, it's Kansas City, Buffalo, Philly. Tampa Bay maybe is in that mix. But the thing with this Buffalo team, and anyone who thinks his seat should be hot, I do think is a bit moronic, but there has to be a deeper look on McDermott right
now.
Because he's the common denominator. And no offense to McDermott, it's easier to find another McDermott than to find another Josh Allen.
Him and Zach Taylor, I think, are occupying the same space right now. Now, don't get me wrong, the Bills have been more successful than the Bengals.
100%.
But what did the Bengals just do? Did they just swap out their longtime defensive coordinator in Lou Anarumo?
Yeah, a guy that 2 years ago people were talking about as being a head coach option.
Yeah, and being a guy like who was very much revered and highly sought after in the same way that Spagnuolo is. Like,
right.
I think that's how quickly things can change in the game. And there's always this desire and need to place blame, because when you fall short in it, it doesn't mean your season's a failure. But I do think if you're the Bills, you probably do view this season as a failure, because the difference between there's two losing teams in this championship series, and we'll talk about the other one here in a minute. Did you see the Commanders after the game, that their owners were waiting as every player and coach came off the field and shook their hand?
Yes. Well,
but I'm saying that because it's about expectation.
Yes.
That's the thing, is like, The Commander season is not a failure. It is an overwhelming success.
100%.
Because they're building up.
And you weren't supposed to be there. What the Commanders had this year was, best case scenario, you had thought 2 or 3 years from now.
Sure.
And I think Baltimore is going through this same thing. There are teams every year where, no offense to their regular season records, none of it matters.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If the Eagles lose to the Commanders, it's a disappointing season.
Oh, God, yes.
The Commanders losing to the Eagles,
and Nick Sirianni's getting fired.
Right.
And Jalen Hurts is under the microscope. And Saquon Barkley, was it all worth it? It's like, whoa, it's a big-time
100%.
Overhaul.
100%. Buffalo, I think, falls into this category with the Eagles. I think that Baltimore falls into this category. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs obviously fall into that category. I think there's an argument, possibly the Texans, if not this year,
well,
then maybe
did.
Next year.
I mean, they fire their offensive coordinator, Slowick, and they fire their president.
Right, and Slowick was a guy last year
who everyone's praises were being sung about.
And people were shocked that he wasn't a head coach, right? But I think the most telling thing, and obviously it's the most talked about play, it's the fourth down call, right? And you have this guy in Joe Brady that's doing all these other interviews to be a head coach.
And he shut those down. He's going to stay now, remember?
Right.
He's coming back, and he's going to stay with the Bills.
But remember, in the divisional week, in the wild card week, you had Josh Allen and you had McDermott, and they were coming out and saying, I hope no one takes him. Or, hey, don't come over here and interview him because he's ours. This is our guy. And he's the one who's supposed to make the big change. Daboll couldn't make the change when he was the OC. Dorsey couldn't make the change when he was the OC. But Joe Brady, he's completely changed this offense. It went from a rely on the deep ball and just be okay with some of the risks that it entails, being okay losing the turnover battle, to this offense where you ask
control.
You know, you ask Josh Allen to still make the good plays, but understand that he has more help in the run game, and he has. But when you get to this big fourth down play, you are going up against a Spagnuolo defense that when it's third or fourth down, he likes to draw up pressure. And he likes to draw up pressure from the boundary, specifically when you're going against a condensed formation. This is a condensed formation because all of your receivers are inside of the numbers. The reason you want to bring a corner fire in a condensed formation is because it's easier to hide. You can hide the safety where he only has to play on the hash, so it looks like a normal cover two defense.
Because you're tucked opposed, in below the slot.
Exactly, as opposed to having a wide receiver outside the numbers where the safety has to get more over that wide receiver, showing that, hey, there's probably some sort of blitz coming from this corner. You are in a condensed formation, and then, of all things, you slide to the field, right? What I think here with Joe Brady, you think you have taken that next step, and Brady has a great call against a man blitz from Spags, something that Spags does notorious. In this moment, though, Spag goes, I'm going to stick with one tendency but break another.
Yep.
And he brings a blitz, but he calls a zone behind it.
Yep.
And you run a man blitz beater play. And that's why guys aren't open right away. And you can make the argument beforehand, hey, Josh should have been able to see, hey, it's even numbers to my left side. It's three on three with, four on four with four wide receivers, four DBs. But there's three DBs to the other side and only one wide receiver. That should tip him off. Hey, there's going to be a blitz. We need to adjust where we're sliding. We need to slide the other way to the boundary as opposed to the field. Those are arguments that can be made. But when those decisions didn't get done pre-snap, Spags had won. And Josh Allen made an incredible play to make two guys who are right in his face right away miss and still chuck up a prayer to where you have a tight end that has an opportunity to catch the ball.
A good tight end who you... Again, right. I'm not killing Dalton Kincaid for not making that catch.
No, it's not a drop.
But it's a play he should make.
It's a play you want him to make. And it's an incredible play by Josh Allen to get to a spot where it's a play you could make. But at the end of the day, if you don't have a top three QB in the league that can make that throw,
which again,
he gets sacked.
It's an insane play.
He gets sacked before he even gets to throw that football. And that's because Spags beat Brady.
Yeah.
That's because Spags beat Brady.
Can I say one thing? And this is a little bit of an aside from this discussion here, but Joe Brady has had some discussion as being, you know, involved in perhaps a job at somewhere else. And, and this is something that has come up both in these NFL playoffs and in the college football playoffs. I feel like, and because there's a point has also been made that college that or coaches that are perhaps interviewing or getting ready to interview for another job, that when that happens,
their focus isn't fully on the game.
Yes, and it comes across in the performance of their team or their squad or their part of it. Is it time for, in both perhaps the NFL and college football, to say, hey, look, you know what? Let's just wait until the entire damn season is over before you guys go start hiring people and interviewing people so these kinds of things don't happen? Because it seems like it does take away from the product on the field, which I guarantee you neither the NFL nor the NCAA or the college football playoff, they don't want that to happen.
Yeah, I think that you're probably right. Now, Brady has also said that, you know, he shut down the interviews, was it last week?
Yeah, I think he called it off in the middle of last week.
Yeah, so...
So, like, look at, like Ben Johnson, and how successful the Lions offense was.
100%.
And then when they get eliminated...
Yeah, no, I think that's certainly up for consideration. It's probably something that should be at least up for debate, but...
I don't know how you police it.
Yeah, like, because they can still find a way.
Right, because you're right. In a perfect world...
I don't know how you police it, but you can still try to put some guardrails in place.
Right, because in a perfect world, you're correct. Like, that would be so much better for the sport, specifically in college. Yeah. Because in college, I mean, look at the Beavers. Look at Jonathan Smith and the Beavers. They are marching to one of the better seasons that they've ever had, and all of a sudden, everything takes a dump, and you're like, what happened? Why'd they take a dump? Oh, he's out. and everybody knew he was out. But I think it would be similar to the no tampering rules. How do you enforce them? Because if it's not a coach, well, then maybe it's a player. Maybe it's agents talking to agents. I think in a perfect world, yes, you're 100% correct. I just don't know how you would be able to perfectly enforce it.
Right. But that's where you try to figure out too, because I feel like the worst thing to do is to try to say, oh, there's nothing we can do about it, and throw your hands up in the air.
Fair. No, 100% fair. I don't disagree with you. I think at some point in time, maybe there comes up with a better solution. Like, I know right now, if a coach is in the playoffs, you can only Zoom interview them. So maybe there's a way to limit that. Then there comes into this debate, though, like if you make those teams that fire their coaches wait, how much further behind the eight ball are they going to be when it comes to like the draft process?
Well, but if everybody is playing by the same rules, you know what I mean? Yeah. And everybody has to wait till a certain point. You're all playing by the same rules. It's like when we say we get to playoff football in the NFL and it's a cold field, it's a cold game, it's a snow game. Both teams are playing under the same conditions.
Right.
Sure.
You know?
No, I'm with
one
you.
One might be better prepared for it than the other if it's a Chiefs versus Dolphins or something.
Right.
You know? Right. But I'd feel like it seems, I'm not going to call it dirty pool, but I just feel like that there are certain guardrails and enforcements and rules that you can try to make to try to prevent these things that derail what is otherwise a very successful season for teams that have earned it and their shot at the playoffs.
That's the thing is I just don't know how much impact it does or doesn't have. And maybe that's all the reason why it should have all that to it.
It's a case-by-case basis is what I would say. Some people handle it much better than others, and I think that is,
that is clear. And that might be the biggest argument for why you should.
Look at Ohio State.
Yeah.
Look at their defense. Now, to be fair, that happened way, way later in the game. It wasn't like Knowles was talking with Penn State, in the middle of the playoffs. But I think it's a case-by-case basis. Some people handle it better than others.